Please welcome Michael Kaplan.
In fifth grade, I got in a fight. I don't remember why, but in a vacant lot near the school, Jimmy Balsam and I were rolling around on the ground, wrestling and throwing little punches. And very quickly, I feel a small rock digging into the side of my head. And after about 2 seconds, I think, this is for idiots. And so I cried uncle and slunk away while the other kids laughed. And I never came close to having another physical altercation until Wally, the girls' softball coach, called me out in a parking lot. Now, my daughter played softball. She was a pitcher. She was not overpowering, but she was accurate. And when you're 10, 11 years old and you can reliably throw strikes, you're a hot commodity. And she was chosen for the Arroyo Grande All-Star team. And the coach was Cynthia, very nice lady, liked my daughter a lot, told her, oh, I'm going to, you know, have you pitch a bunch in the All-Star tournament. But we all knew that the star pitcher was JJ, who was this powerful Amazon-like redhead. And she and her younger sister, TJ, were both on the team. But their father, Wally, felt that if he couldn't be coach of the team, he was going to take his bat and his ball and his two redheaded Amazonian daughters and go home. And the prospect of the team being weakened in this way threw the league officials and several of the All-Star parents into a panic, because adults who live vicariously through their children are terrible. And there was a coup staged overnight, and Cynthia was out, and Wally was now the coach. And Wally had no use for my daughter. She never pitched once during the tournament. She barely played. And this rankled me, because I believe that every kid in the dugout should play at least one inning of every game. And I argue about this all the time with my friends, and they always say, okay, but where do you draw the line? At what level of competition? And I say, never. Even at the professional level, Major League Baseball, I think everybody in the dugout should play one inning of every game. Yes, you'll have more losses. You'll also have more delighted parents. But this was just my pet peeve. There was a larger issue. JJ, she was a powerhouse. You know, she would walk on water, and Dad would be there to lovingly towel off her toes. Her younger sister, TJ, not as talented, not as motivated. I think secretly she didn't want to be playing softball at all. And every time she came up to bat, Wally, who was coaching third base, would go into a mocking, almost hostile lecture, criticizing her for the pitches that she should have swung at, gesticulating wildly when she would swing at a bad pitch. I mean, this was a daddy-daughter psychodrama that should never happen. If it's going to happen, preferably in the living room with a big-hearted protective mom facilitating, but this was right out in the open along the third baseline, and all of us just had to avert our eyes. So within a year, we had moved from South County to San Luis Obispo, and so my daughter, she was now in a new league on a new team, and at one of the early practices, I was sitting with a few of the parents, and I started ragging on Wally and talking about the whole All-Star experience. You know, not because this was a learning moment, But because this is what I did in third grade when I changed schools, you know, to ingratiate myself to the new kids, I was making fun of the old kids at the other school. I mean, I'm not proud of it. It's kind of a weasel move. And afterwards, one of the moms took me aside and she said, you know, Sheila is best friends with Wally's wife. So I had planted a landmine in the county. I didn't know where, I didn't know when I was gonna step on it. And about 8 months later, I pulled into the bank, and as I was getting out of the car, Wally came out of the bank. And he said, "Hey, Chief." And I should point out he was using the sarcastic version of Chief. "I hear you've been telling everybody what a terrible coach I am." Now, technically, this was not true. I had only told 3 or 4 people. So I felt it was within my rights to just flat out deny it. And I said, no, I didn't do that. And he took several steps closer. And he said, "Oh, I hear you've been saying a whole lot about me." And this was a fight or flight moment. And in those situations, I am a frequent flyer. And I make no bones about that. But Larry was between me and the bank, so really it was a fight or flight or cave situation. And so I lied. And I just started to mutter, "No, I didn't, And he took another step forward and he said, "If you got a problem, you tell it to me. I'm here right now." And he spread his big beefy arms and he stuck out his big beefy chest and he was just there with his big beefy attitude. And me, at this time, I'm pushing 50, and to say that I was starting to go soft, it's not really accurate. I was going soft since 21. And I just sealed the mealy-mouthed lie and went, no, I don't have a problem, and then slunk around him and went into the bank, hating myself. Just feeling like a nasty, lying little weasel that somehow had gotten a great deal on a large body. And every time I went to that bank, I would think about that moment. And, you know, there's a quaint expression called staircase wit. The idea being that, you know, these are the things that you think of that you wish you had said while you're climbing the stairs to bed at night. And I would experience ATM wit. Every time I was taking out 40 bucks, I would think, God, there were so many better ways I could have handled that situation. None of these scenarios involve me hauling off and sucker punching Wally. I mean, these are the alternative fantasies of a soft white man who knows his limitations. But I could have distracted. You know, I could have said, "I don't have a beef with you. I just think that youth sports is killing the soul of our children. I'd love to get a beer and talk about it sometime," and then go into the bank. Or, you know, I could have tried to confuse him. You know, I'd rather be a good dad and a decent citizen and a mediocre coach than any other combination. And let him stand there kind of working out the permutations while I went into the bank. Or I could have thrown somebody else under the bus. "Hey, I would have told you, but the team mom never passed out a roster and I didn't have the contact information and now I can't even remember what I said." You know, or just put him on the defensive. "Hey, I still think we should have won the tournament. What happened, man?" You know, I could have told a different lie if I'm going to lie. I could have come up with something along the lines of, "I have been talking about you, but I was elected by all the team parents to do that as a service to others. You know, or one that gave me great pleasure, which would have been to say, I would love to stand here and talk about whether you are a good girl softball coach or a bad girl softball coach, but I have to go into the bank and fire some people now. And after a while, it occurred to me what I really wish I had said. And in fact, it was so much the truth that I could still say it. So anytime I went to the bank, I would look for Wally. And I looked for him over the years. I looked for him when my bank branch changed locations. I looked for him when a different bank bought the bank. But I never saw him again. And so I was left with the last recourse of the soft white man who knows his limitations, which was to write a sketch about two dads coaching a baseball team together and not getting along. And this ended up being part of an evening of sketches that was actually produced in a theater locally. So for 6 nights, I got to see the actor playing Wally go, I'm here right now. And I got to watch the actor playing me say, you ride your daughter, you embarrass her in front of all the other kids, you obviously have control issues and anger issues, and you are going to ruin the experience for her and my daughter and all the other kids if you don't get the help you need. At which point, the actor playing Wally took a step closer to my character and said, maybe you should be my coach. And for the rest of the sketch, begged me to become his life coach and mentor. And my wife told me that that was probably the least believable moment in the whole evening. And I know she was right, but it was so well played.